Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome back, listeners. We have another live show of Piercing the Veil. Today is Sunday, January 29th, 2017, and it marks the seventh or so day that we have been chemtrail-free here in Dallas, Texas. You can call that a coincidence if you like, but I saw a tweet from President Trump that said on his first day that he was going to end all chemtrailing, and then it got removed, except I haven't seen a single freaking chemtrail plane in about a week. I've seen a couple brief pauses here and there while they're doing whatever they're doing with adjusting the weather. Never something a week long, and it's been completely blue skies or actual clouds. And I forget the type, cumulonimbus or something like that, but gigantic clouds, fluffy ones that you remember from your youth if you're old enough. The last time I saw something like that, honestly, guys, was about 1999, 2000. It's the last far back as I can remember. So last show, we'll do a quick little recap here. Last show, what we did was a listener appreciation episode. We had a lot of good callers. We had four people call in. We had Daryl Sprout, and then also Jam Freely, and then Sutton Privet, and then another person who I know I'm forgetting. I apologize. And this week we have Johnny Delirious and Frank Bacon. They've both been on our show multiple times. They're VIP returning guests. And basically what we're going to do is a little collaboration today. I'm going to stimulate some discussion and some ideas about not only the blockchain and technology and moving forward with Bitcoins and smart contracts and self-governance, but we're also going to talk a little bit about governance of the self, which is what Johnny is getting into right now as well. He's got these little... I would call them word memes, if you will, and calls them Johnny's takeaways. It condenses a lot of common sense and logic into a small couple of words, maybe a sentence long, if that. So without further ado, we're just going to bring both of those guys right in. We're going to do our collaboration show today, and I want to welcome Frank Bacon. Thank you for coming back to the show, and also Johnny Delirious. Thank you very much. I'm going to have, let's go ahead and have Johnny drop in first and just give us a quick hello. Make sure your mic sounds good, and we're good to go.
Hi, good to be back. I'm Johnny Delirious. I'm a laboratory naturopathic doctor and best-selling author. I specialize in liver balance and recovery.
Excellent. You've also had some crazy stuff happen to you in your life, and you've healed yourself, and basically it's been medically proven, to my understanding. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it has. I have the records right in my book.
Excellent. Okay, we'll get to some of that. I think some of our listeners are familiar with you as well. For those who are not, we'll do some brief bios here in a second. For now, I just want to bring on Frank Bacon. Welcome back, Frank.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. It's good to be back. Really looking forward to talking with Johnny, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's just jump right into Johnny's bio. He gave you a little bit already about what he's doing. Maybe if you'll do this, Johnny, just give us some in-depth about some of your projects, your works. This is a time where you can plug anything you want, direct people and listeners to your website. Everything here on the show is valuable information. We don't let you guys do this unless you're providing something valuable. And obviously, you guys are doing super valuable things. So just whenever you're ready.
Well, thank you, Jordan. Well, my best-selling book, Barnes & Noble's, is Hepatitis C Cured, and a lot of people in the mainstream hassle me about that because, oh, you can't say cured. No, it's a biography because I cured myself, and I showed how I cured myself. So that's, in essence, what that is. My website is johnnydelirious.com. And I have my other books and my recovery biographies and recovery books there, too. They're programs, actually. And you can follow bit by bit, step by step, what I did. And so I'm not practicing medicine. I'm actually just telling my story of recovery. And people who follow my footsteps usually get better. One of the main things I do before I start off with anybody is have them do a hair tissue mineral analysis, because I specialize in that. During the 80s, I ran a laboratory, Davenport Laboratories, and the hair tissue mineral analysis, or for short, HTMA, basically gives the exact biochemistry over time, which is like the average over 3, 4, or 5 months, which is one of the most accurate tests for biochemistry that you can have. So if someone has a balance of minerals in their body, they will not get sick. I know that for a fact. A lot of people don't believe that. But the hair tissue mineral analysis, the HTMA, also shows what heavy metals you have, if you have any. And so that gives you an accurate toxicology report, whereas blood and urine may not necessarily give that to you. So
yeah, it sure does. And I've taken one of these, and we'll get to that story a little bit later in there. I really want the listeners to know that and what you did for me, and essentially how important it is for anybody who's looking to get, you know, their health back on track. They really need to find out about what this is and maybe even contact you. So so we'll do that later in the show, and once we're well into discussion about other things, because we only have a brief limited period of time. For now, let me just cut you off there, Johnny, and we'll go with Frank. And Frank, if you can just give us just a brief thing about your different fields of expertise and what you're doing, and maybe some links so people can contact you or follow you.
Sure.
You're doing a lot of internet awareness and blockchain activism as well. So just
So I'll stay focused on the collaborative element of it. I'm a complete act of fiction, and I started with Steemit as my really big blockchain project that I wanted to adopt. And you and I talked about that on our prior show. That's one of the more successful blockchain projects that's active right now. And I like it as a publishing platform. I think it's a de facto publishing platform. If you're going to be an author, write newsletters, post a blog, do anything that has to do with just any kind of post, it should start in Steemit. And there's a small community. It's in the tens of thousands right now, and it's growing every day. And one of the things I do there is just a kind of a form of code talking, little ciphers, and spread word magic in the posts that I make. You and I have a keen connection to wordsmithing and how powerful words are. So I was wondering if there was one in particular that you knew of or that you'd come across that maybe you wanted to talk about. But other than that, the totality of what I'm doing on Steemit is moving towards something that Terrence McKenna called amenitizing the eschaton. And that's exactly what I'm working on. It's just amenitizing the eschaton, eminentizing the eschaton, which means, you know, there's this eminence front to play on a Who song coming, that there's a big change happening on our planet. And you can either be caught up in the change and wrecked by it, or you can take part in the change and dance with it and get to some pretty amazing places. So what the eschaton, or amenitizing the eschaton, means is to create that rather utopian type ideal, you know, that we always are maybe struggling for here on this planet. And I use blockchain projects to do that primarily, because blockchain is the best place for me to work in and out of. Like I'm a sophisticated hacker, or a hacker, if you will. But I choose to collaborate rather than to work for money or piddly contractual arrangements. I know what I'm kind of here doing, and I know what other people are here doing. We just find good ways to work together to make some of these things happen. So I hope that kind of clarifies a few things.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get into some of that. I just want to jump over to Johnny real quick and ask Johnny, have you ever heard of Steemit before?
Oh, how do you spell that? I don't know the word. I thought he was talking about FEMA camps.
Steemit. It's going to be. And Frank, while we're talking with Johnny, if you can maybe, you've got sort of an echo or sort of a cave-like effect going on there. I don't know how that's going to show up in post, but we'll just try to minimize that if we can. And then back to Johnny here. Basically, Steemit is it's like Facebook. It's a social media site, except that there's a curation aspect. People are supposedly, the idea or the mission is that people will curate quality content. That's typically not what happens. So Steemit has really become valuable for other things more than than what its original mission was for. But essentially, when you type something in there, it's saved forever. It's recorded in a blockchain, which is a new form of recording technology. It's the basis of most digital currencies, if not all of them. Some of them are half asset based and so on and so forth. But essentially, it's like a new social media platform where if you curate or upvote proper content with people that have a lot of steam power or a lot of the currency, if you will, and you can actually purchase this currency that you're using for all these different posts and things. If you curate that content, you get paid. Or if you like and upvote in certain time periods, you get paid. If you post good things and people upvote it in mass, right, like lots of them really quickly within a certain time window, you get paid. When they first opened up, they were doing $10,000 a post, and some of these things were like the five different types of coffee makers and just stupid fucking shit. And, you know, of course, the people that have a lot of steam power, that basically when they open the blockchain, there was an initial run for investors. And those investors are present on the social media platform, which is Steemit. That social media platform is tied to the actual blockchain itself, which is the currency model, which is just like Bitcoin, right? But wow, those guys have a lot of leverage and weight. They call them whales. And they have consistently, at least until the last time that it was on Steemit, they've been consistently upvoting shit. Because it's purely monetarily driven. Now, is that an opportunity for some people? Yeah. But what Frank is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong here in a minute, Frank, but what Frank is saying is that he's using it for blockchain activism, social media activism, reversing the zombie liberalism trends that are occurring. And you actually know about this, Johnny, because of your studies about the about how everything is trying to turn the population to a parasympathetic group or mass, right?
Right.
Parasympathetic, yeah. Basically meaning reactory, always reacting, always uncontrollably reacting, and emotional
and compliant
swings, and so sensitive, and this and that, and, you know, out of balance with stimulus and the world around them, so that it makes an easily controlled, fear-induced slave, right?
Absolutely. Like, you know, in the old days, people had more backbone because they had to survive, but today they're more compliant because they're parasympathetic, and it's by design. So backbone versus compliance, you know, robot versus self-will, you know. So I just wanted to throw that in.
That's right, and we'll get to some of your takeaways, because they really touch on the state of people's nervous system and how to stop it, and you sort of bring a nifty element into making people stop and take a look at what's going on. So we'll get into that. Now let's jump back to Frank Bacon real quick, and I want to ask you, have I described properly Steemit to your understanding?
An argument with you at all. I have to think that a lot of the stuff that came on the scene in the early days was garbage, still is to a big extent. And, you know, that's where the model changed with something like Medium. As you're well aware, a lot of people are leaving Facebook and other networks and droves, and they're ending up in things like Gab and Medium and VidMe and all that. And that's just more of the same, doing it wrong, or doing the wrong thing righter, as I like to say, and people in my network say that this is what's going on. You're just taking your place from a centrally controlled network and putting it onto a centrally controlled network. I mean, you're just choosing to have different gatekeepers, you know, guard your information. Well, something like Steemit.
So the essential purpose of the Steemit was originally to curate and make money and upvote and make money while you're posting and build some sort of thing.
Well, I would disagree in that sense that the original purpose was to store content on a block as opposed to what Bitcoin does, which is transactioning blocks. You know, it's just trading blocks. So they tried to monetize, and arguably so, whether they accomplished it or not, monetize the viewing of articles, reading, voting on them, you know, flagging them up or down, commenting on them, things like that. And so within a 24-hour period, if your article goes up, it's going to be entered into a block, and then for that 24 hours, any kind of activity surrounding that article, whether people read it, upvote it, whatever, can be monetized, and that's handled by this AI. That's handled by artificial intelligence or algorithms or things that are easily understood on paper, but not really, you know, when you gamify it and put it in the real world. So what you have is you have the rules locked away in a contractual obligation, basically following algorithms on a contract. So people are trying to gamify that, and you correctly, astutely observed that the original, you know, people that got into it, the original round of Steam developers and miners and people that helped pump up the price of it, turned out to be whales. They became rather rich and blarded.
Think of it like an IPO, like for a traditional
stock. Yeah, exactly. They were the initial startup. Yeah, And that's, again, that's being handled by the code. That they're not filing with the FCC. There's nobody. This is all virtually anarchistic. You know, it's what we call anarcho-capitalism. So it's one frontier, and there's others, you know, that are going to be coming.
Okay,
and
yeah. So
the things that we learn, that we learn in STEMIT can be applied to other blockchain projects that will be coming too. So,
that's right. And you've seen it shift a little bit, and I just want to touch on exactly what you're doing, so Johnny can maybe compare it to his takeaways.
Okay, I'll give you an example of a shift that's very near and dear to us. Okay, so for example, Pizzagate and getting good stories of Pizzagate. Because it's associated with fake news, and there's a big psyop between, well, you know, you don't call out the head baby rapers for what they are. They're going to come in with
that's what I'm saying, though, is like you're going to have to do all this stuff. You're going to have to do all this stuff consistently on STEMIT because Facebook is not a place for that. So you have actually been doing these counter memes, to my understanding, like actually making people wake the hell up with a picture. And you know, of course, we're talking about the pedophilia rings that go across the planet and they're administered by some of the highest, positions of power, if you will, and families and bloodline families and stuff like that. Well, yeah, everybody knows that instinctually on some point. You know, they know that something's wrong and some people are controlling things. But they really don't wake up until you show them with a picture. So my question to you before we jump over to Johnny, because we only have limited time and we'll do follow-ups if we need to. What is the most effective meme that you've used so far? Because I know you go to STEMIT and then you go over to Facebook from there with whatever meme you're using, and it stirs up a pretty big pot.
My most famous one to date has been kind of associating people with the this is rather hard to describe, and I'm wondering how appropriate this would be for your audience, but I can't think of a better audience to describe this with. But it would have to be associating, I would say, an association, not directly like tying people together or anything like that, but any association with Hitler tends to get people's opinions and their opinions in a cockle. You know what I mean? So there's this great meme that's running around about Hitler rose to power because there was nobody out there making dank memes against Hitler. Are you familiar with that one?
So that's a good example. So, and again, the reason why it's so effective and triggers so many people, Frank, the reason why it's triggered so many people, I would say, and you are the one that created it, but it's because they are being touched or pressure pointed on a socially engineered dynamic or a point that's been ingrained in their life at a young age. Oh, well, Hitler was a bad guy and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he was, but he wasn't the dude. He was a puppet. He was not the dude pulling the strings behind the scenes. That said, everybody fucking misses that. Aside from the fact, this whole LGBT community, I love you guys, but you're blind. You got to open your fucking eyes and understand, you know, you can't just blindly follow numbers and facts and statistics and shit like that. And like, oh my God, the Holocaust killed over 6 million Jews. You know what? Even if every single one of those people was a Jew, more than half of them were fucking political dissidents, opposing political parties, gays, right? Or, you know, whatever they were doing, bisexual or deviants or holding, you know, running different types of seedy underground businesses that, you know, everything was outlawed back then. During the middle of that regime, stuff started going really south. And a lot of people that were murdered were not just Jews. They were other people. And so they're like, oh, well, all these Jews were murdered. It's like you're identifying somebody by their fucking religion, and you say that you have compassion for other people, and you're like, oh, blah, 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 that's the one thing that makes this so wrong. No, they're human beings. The fact that human beings were slaughtered is wrong, right? Let's get off of the, oh, it's so important because they're Jews, and you're Holocaust deniers, and you're anti-Semitic, and anything that you say that I don't agree with is racist. That shit's got to stop. Political correctness is a disease. So I'm going to stop you right there, and we'll get back to you on that point. But with that, the political correctness being a disease, I want to jump back over to Johnny and ask him his views on that, because he's really studied the human nervous system and mineral balance and all these different types of things that have to happen on an individual scale for people to come back to sanity, basically. The world is insane for a reason. So, Johnny, let's jump back into that. What are your thoughts or studies or anything like that, your research on those types of things, the body and reactory
senses? Sure. Well, that's a very good point you brought up. And you know, because of the entrainment technology and the social engineering, which includes, you know, food, pesticides, chemicals, and also, you know, different entrainment technology brought on by the beast, and that's a whole nother show. But it's been successful, so the liberal left has gotten so irrational that if you question anything other than their own beliefs or their opinion, they become hostile, and they don't want to hear any other opinion of any kind. They won't debate. They won't do nothing. So already they're in the pocket of the people that are in control, the puppet masters, if you will. So with the HTMA, the hair tissue mineral analysis, one of the main things, like I said in the beginning, that if you have a balance of minerals, you're not only healthy, but that's your mind and your body is healthy. Because 90% of the population in America are parasympathetic dominant. That means they have too much of three elements. That's calcium, sodium, and carbon. So those three elements tend to, if you will, the slang would be dummy down, but in way, it just, in another way, more accurately, it makes you compliant. It makes you not resist. It makes you without a backbone. So you're just a sheep. I think it was Rockefeller earlier that said back in the 20s or 30s, he just said, give me workers. I don't want thinkers. So the whole purpose of their entrainment and social engineering has been just to develop a class of robots that will just be compliant to what's going on. And right now we have a battle in our country going on between the social and, you know, left, and then the conservatives, which are the only ones, if you want to put a name on them, they're the only ones who are really saying, wait a minute, enough's enough. I can work, I can do this, I can do that, and I'm a logical thinking being, and I should be heard. And I think that's why Trump won, because there's still a lot of people out there. They're not just people in New York or people in Los Angeles, but everybody in between is saying, wait a minute, you know, we're here too, and we think logically, we want something it's fair and not to be controlled by puppet masters. So long story short, the mineral profile will show what diseases you're prone to. It shows what heavy metals you have. And all of that can be, you know, you can bypass all the control mechanisms of the puppet masters if you're in balance with minerals.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I've experienced it myself. I was actually, what would you say, about 2-3 months away from organ failure, and you and your, who was it, your girlfriend, your acquaintance? I forget who it was.
Yeah,
but they,
my girlfriend, yeah, Billy.
Yeah, go ahead and tell that story,
hey,
if you will.
He looks blue. You know, he looks, I said, yeah, he's kind of clammy. I'm going to tell him he's got to get a hair tissue mineral analysis. So that's when I really kind of grabbed you. You said, all right, cut my hair. So we didn't realize you had so much arsenic, and I didn't know why you were so clammy colored, but I knew you weren't well. But when the arsenic came back so high and I delivered it, the results and the tests back to you, basically I said, you know, I know it's hard being a guinea pig, but, you know, you can do something about it now, but if you don't do anything and go unchecked about 2 months from now, you won't wake up on one of your long naps. You just won't because of your levels the way you are.
Yeah, and that's what I was doing. I've been sleeping for 16 hours a day, you know what I mean? So, okay, well, yeah, and I thank you for that.
We caught it in the nick of time.
Anybody that wants a hair mineral tissue analysis, how can they get a hold of you best?
They can either call me, 972-825-7912. Email is better, and that's jdelirious, J-D-E-L-I-R-I-O-U-S, 5911 at yahoo.com. So that's jdelirious, 5911 at yahoo.com. And just email me and ask me about the HTMA. And I can run it in. I used to run the lab. I did the numbers. I did the protocols for the new diets and everything like that. So there's nobody in the country that has more of an expertise about how to, you know, go and achieve the best results from the HCMA.
Excellent. Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that. All right, and also we have my co-host, Corey Stevens. He's online here. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm very well. It's a nice, finally warm day out here. We've had a cold streak, which is uncharacteristic for Arizona.
Excellent. Well, I just wanted to see if you had any questions for Frank or Johnny, and starting with Frank, and he can answer you directly since we just went with Johnny. What questions would you ask him, or any suggestions to him, or ideas for projects, or maybe even if you want to link up and start counter-memeing together, anything like that? If you'll just go from there.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I don't know, can you give us a forecast for blockchain technology for this year?
Yeah.
Under the great light of all this.
Corey, you're breaking up a little bit. We can't hear you. Can you try it again?
Yeah, sure. Can you hear me now?
There, that's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, maybe perhaps a for this year, if you would, about some blockchain technology, Bitcoin specifically, maybe some other cryptocurrencies.
Yeah,
you know,
I'd be happy to. Because I expect by the end of February, beginning of March, there's going to be a big. You can't quote me on this because I guess I'm on the show. So I don't give, you know, financial advice. The people I work for, a parent company, very powerful family. I got everything I need is taken care of. I've got my job. I'm set. I'm a studious type of person, sophisticated, got everything I need. So what I did to get there, though, is I got completely out of the financial world. So in relationship to people that are still working hand to mouth with a steady paycheck or something like that, think of Bitcoin or blockchain technologies as a good savings account. So, like, if I told you to get an email address in 1994, you probably would have thought I was crazy. And yet here we are, you know, giving our email addresses out. So if you don't have a blockchain or a Bitcoin wallet of some kind, and I walked you guys through it on one show. I think it was our second show. But I use Coinbase.
That's right.
I think that's going to be huge. So Coinbase in the news this year is going through a big counter offensive with the IRS, because the IRS just wants to, you know, have their list of people that are buying Bitcoins, and they're saying no. So that's going on in the news. I think that's going to go well.
Right.
I think there's some people in the Trump administration that are very Bitcoin positive. They see it as an asset, a digital asset. So as things start crumbling in the financial world, because we're going to find out so many things are wrong with the actual fiat world, the value system is going to have to start changing. I think there's $1 trillion wealth transfer getting ready to happen. I think this is the year that a vast majority of it's going to happen. So we're going to go from, you know, tens of billions of dollars in the crypto space, which is, it's arguably somewhere around $20 billion of value in totality if you were to take a lot of things in it. And that's a very rough number. But that's going to go, add a zero to that. It'll get into the 200, you know, 400, 500 billion by this year, and by Christmas of this year.
Now, Frank, if I could cut in real quick, I just had a question about something you just said. I apologize for interrupting, but
go for it.
I want to touch on this. You had mentioned in our previous discussions that you sort of were, I would say you were hinting at a possible fork in the steam dollar and the steemit currency. Is that something that you still think is probable of happening? And then could you explain to our listeners what
did.
Fork is?
They did. So forking doesn't always mean that it's gonna create two different systems. Forking also means that if everybody agrees they're gonna go in a different direction, they can change the software. So that's what they did recently. They've updated it to steemit. It's no longer 2 years for a payout or even 1 year for a payout. They can do it in 90 days. They're continuing to throw things out there. In fact, there's a 2017 roadmap. It's about a 22-page PDF. I would send it to you. In fact, after this conversation, we'll send it. It has a lot of things on the horizon. There's still a great reason to get into Steam. I still believe in Steam witness nodes, which are their form of mining nodes. It's just that the value of the Steam dollar itself, which they wanted to peg, they wanted it to be worth roughly a dollar, an American dollar. So in their algorithms, they have it constantly adjusting its price based on the price of a dollar, according to 17 or 19 different exchanges all over the country. Well, the value of the dollar is going to go through a quick upheaval. And right now, the value of a dollar to the value of a steam dollar is that I can get a steam dollar for 15 cents of a regular dollar. So steam is about 85% undervalued of where they want to be. But even at that level, they represent a 30 to 60 billion, probably a $50 billion operation. Okay, so that's nothing to shake your nose to. That's going to work for a big company. I've worked for a lot of big companies. Many of them were in the tens of millions of dollars. So here's like an open source publishing house. Think of it that way. Yeah. And it's an open source publishing house that can kick out some form of currency that's internal to it that can be traded for some form of value out on an exchange out there. So we're already there. It's just that, like the comic book type scenario, where I don't think a number one, you know, issue of Superman right now is worth as much as it'll be in probably 10 years or 20 years. So Steam may not be worth a whole lot today, but that could change very easily down the road. And so this year is where you're going to see a lot of that happening, because I think we're going to have some problems in the financial world, the fiat world. You know, the bond market is crap. The interest rate markets are crap. And then we have these things called derivatives, which in 2008 nobody seemed to put an end to.
I'll say this. They've thrown everything they can at him, and the Federal Reserve is threatening Trump and all these different things. You've signed 7 fucking executive orders. Why don't you finish what JFK did? Go nationalize the Federal Reserve banks all across the fucking nation. Take all of their accounts and hold it and seize it under criminal RICO activity under Title 18. And then use that to declare the national debt void and unenforceable, so you don't have to pay it. And then use all that money to take care of this stuff to balance the economy and all these different things.
Yeah, I think something like that's happening within the next.
I see that going that direction.
I do too. So. I think it happening in the next 60 days. I think it happening. I see it happening. You know, end of February, beginning of March is kind of what my indicators have been telling me.
I have the same notions, and I've been waiting for a couple of years. I could feel it building, and I think that the RV that everybody's been waiting for and some other things are about to happen. So thank you for that forecast. In short, basically, your suggestion, not financial advice, but your suggestion is go get some fucking steam it and go get some Bitcoin.
Well,
go get some different
things. I still think
the
Bitcoin Bitcoin to me still seems to be the perfectly – and Coinbase only allows you to pick up two. They may bring steam it on board, but – for now, Coinbase, you can put money in for Bitcoin, which is just almost under $1,000 right now. When we started talking about this last year, Bud, Bitcoin was at $250. So if people started taking my advice back then, you know, we would be a almost like a 300% increase in value, which is not bad. But, you know, there are people that were talking about this years ago when Bitcoin was $3, and I wish I had talked to them. I wish I had listened to them then. But there's still plenty of room for it to grow.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Let's go ahead and jump. We've only got limited time, so I'm going to cut you off there. But yes, in short, what he's saying is absolutely true. I think I heard Johnny kick in and say he agrees. Let's jump over to him with Corey. Any questions that you have for Johnny, Corey? Any type of suggestions or anything like that? And maybe ask him about his takeaways. That would be a nice thing.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Trump tweeting about ending chemtrails. which is very interesting. I mean, it's hard to not see Trump as extremely erratic. I must say, I get what he's up against. I think I get what he's looking and his administration is looking to do, I believe, to some degree. What do you think that's gonna do to that conversation around chemtrails? I mean, the president talked about it, so it's got to have some legitimizing effect on the concept.
Well, God may jump in. This is Johnny. I met Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago back in 2002 when he first fixed up Mary Lou Weatherpost's house. And you know, it was kind of an interesting, quick little meeting, but there's one thing that we got, you know, straight right away. The man doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't even drink coffee. So, you know, he's a pretty clear thinker. So a lot of people think he's erratic. He's actually pretty tuned in. And
that's right.
He actually utilizes one of my takeaways. And one of my last takeaways on that big article was, like, use ridicule as a tool. So he's the only one I know that actually uses ridicule as a tool, because it actually...
I'm jumping in now to say I take portion of that now. Sorry to interrupt you, Johnny, but I got to tell you that I want to applaud you for catching that. That's exactly what I see with that man and why he's so brilliant.
Absolutely. And so, you know, let me just give you a little ha-ha here. When we first met, I walk in at the time I was married. You know, my wife was pretty attractive. So as soon as I saw him and the Donald comes over and puts his hand out, he says, "Oh, you must be from the Lucky Sperm Club." And I go, "No, Donald, I work at 8 to 5 just like you." And he goes, "Oh, wise guy," like that. And I said, "No, I'm just like you. I don't even drink." And so he says right to me, looks me right in the eye, and he goes, "Okay, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to the party." So it's like he kind of accepted me, but that was the only conversation we've had. But from then on, I knew from talking to Don and Ivanka, I knew that, you know, he never drank. He taught his kids not to drink. So therefore, you know, they're pretty clear thinkers. And I think he's going to go further than he's promised everybody on the campaign trail. I think he wants to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Johnny, you just hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of... I'm going to make a meme about this, by the way, Frank. And it's going to be, you know, Obama's 8 years of tragedy and scandal and all this stuff. And it's going to be a bunch of people praising him. "Oh, thank you so much. Oh, blah, blah." And then it'll be Trump and it'll say, "Ends chemtrails," right? "Ends TPP, ends NAFTA. Nationalizes the oil," all these things. And then there's like the liberal guy in the green jacket screaming his lungs out on the ground, you know, that became an internet meme and all these different things. So we'll get together on that. But I want to say this. Before anybody goes further, I want to say this. I know for a fact that my feelings about people are correct 9 times out of 10. There's always that one that slips by me, but my whole life has been based on human lie detection, knowing that something in the society is wrong, knowing that somebody is lying to me when they tell me that Santa Claus is climbing down the chimney, knowing something's wrong, right? Okay? So when I see somebody and their body language being straight, forthcoming, totally honest, totally believes what they're saying, is literally doing what they said they would do within the first fucking week. The fucking press secretary. Every single time I have ever seen somebody, they're reading from a teleprompter. They're always reading corporate media spiel. People actually get the news filtered through the White House, and they don't know it. There's a live feed on a 5-second delay under the Patriot Act that requires all of the major networks to feed their fucking stream into the White House for editing and review during live streams and live broadcasts, okay? That's just a fact. All that shit's been demolished and taken out. That whole place has been cleaned out. All of their equipment, their propaganda machines, all of it's been fucking taken out. And the dude is reading from a piece of fucking paper, firing back left and right at people that are being snarky to him, and he's doing everything that a wordsmith would do. And this is the first time I've seen something in over 20 years that I've seen something that changed this much. Okay, and then top it off with no chemtrails. And there's, "Oh my God, he's got billionaires in his cabinet." Yeah, there's a lot of people that have jumped off the Illuminati ship. There's a lot of people that were fucking blackmailed, people that came up on their own wealth, that made their own fortunes, or their granddaddy made their own fortune legitimately and not robbing people like J.P. Morgan. And those guys were unwittingly blackmailed and coerced in participating in things that they had no idea. Financial schemes, there's all sorts of ways that they can get stuff on you. Okay, so not every person is a fucking devil, even though they work for Goldman Sachs. And that was hard for me to accept. But so there's that. And then, "Oh my God, the Keystone block, the fucking Keystone pipeline was 97% completed. Now, I had a Standing Rock episode because I believe in when people are actually trying to do the right thing. And I let all that stuff come out, and I had wonderful people who are actually very smart. And they may be liberal ideology in their political views, but they're very smart. They're very talented, like Daniel Kassick and Daisy Winslow.
I called in on that episode, if you remember.
Yeah. So
that was important.
So it is important about the use of force. That's what I was there to stand up as a space for, is like, this is not right. You guys can't sit there and videotape with your cell phone somebody getting punched in the face by a police officer or shot in the head with a rubber bullet. You can't do that.
Right.
If it's gotten that far, you need to be, I mean, you either, when that happens, you got to nip it in the bud. So if there's like six officers and 50 people, those 50 people need to fucking arrest the officers. And if one person gets shot, well, then that person was more of a hero than a lot of people in the past 300 fucking years. No, I'm not saying you need to kill the officers or hurt them, but put their own fucking handcuffs on them and disarm them, because the minute they step out of their jurisdiction, the minute they start using unnecessary and excessive force, they are liable to be stopped for unlawful arrest or unlawful use of force. And you can do that under protection of the laws in most states, but nobody does it because A, they don't know about it. B, they're too scared to do it, because people have a fear of death. They don't know what a transition really is. Okay, and yeah, there might be reasons that you need to stick around. You got five kids. We'll make that decision and maybe delegate to somebody else. But it has to fucking be done that way. Because if you don't, now you have this, a fucking military takeover. Did you see how quickly their numbers and their forces increased through private security contracts? That's not police. Mm-hmm. The state police are organizing things through people like satanic governors and shit like that in the Freemason networks. That's why you're seeing the use of power being collaborated with the actual state. Okay, the state of North Dakota, South Dakota, that whole region is co-opted. All of the states are. But as far as like the actual acts themselves, that's private security forces for the most part. Okay, so we've talked to Johnny, we've talked to Frank. Corey, I want to let you jump in a little bit because you haven't really got a chance to really formulate your questions beforehand. So I'm just going to give you 30 seconds or so and ask, is there anything that you want to add about the Standing Rock thing, or is there anything that you want to add about what Frank said about the forecast predictions in answer to your first question?
Yeah,
or
sure,
is there anything you want to say about what Johnny was saying about meeting Trump and body language?
I would agree body language and the positions that I think the guy is sincere, you know, and I think that there's a lot of people quaking in their boots right now. And, you know, there's mainstream media, you know, there's all, he's getting it from all sides. And why? That's the question I would ask. Why is he getting it from all sides? Well, obviously, he's coming in to shake some things up. And he's meeting a lot of resistance, you know, so clearly. So I think the guy is genuine. I think he's you know, it's time for some kind of change. It's probably going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be disturbing to a lot of people. I will take it over the status quo.
Amen.
I also want to piggyback on what you were saying, Jordan. Related to Standing Rock, I don't have the information in front of me, and I don't know which states in particular right now, but there's a lot of state legislation that's basically pushing to varying degrees around the country to tighten up on legal protests. There's state legislation that's ostensibly in some places looking to make it much more difficult for people to publicly assemble and to publicly assert their First Amendment protected rights to express.
You know what I have to say about that? In 2018, all 484 members of the House and the Congress are up for re-election. So if you're unable to protest, and you know what? Protests are fucking ineffectual. Protests are ineffectual. I'll say it again. Protests are fucking ineffectual and they're stupid. You want to make a fucking change? Go knock on your goddamn neighbor's door and have all of your friends out there in the street go knock on their fucking neighbors' doors and say, hey, did you know about this? Did you know about chemtrails? Did you know about Monsanto? Did you know about blah, 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 blah? Hey, this is what's happening right here also, so would you like to be involved with that? Okay, great. What's your contact info? Let's collaborate and start meetup groups. Or let's start doing something. Let's start organizing on our own fucking terms in our own private space where things can be under our own control and not subject to influence from socio-communist elements, because all I was seeing in those fucking protests was communist flags and fucking bullshit, false pseudo-militant anarchism. Anarchy is self-independence. It is not bullshit destruction or chaos. That's crap. So I agree with everybody that's talked about this, and I agree with your point as well. I want to say this. We have a limited amount of time. I'm going to let everybody speak again, including Frank, because I want to ask him a couple of questions as well. But Johnny, the one thing that stood out to me about Trump, that you said that he was going to go further than what he was saying, and I have it on extremely good information, and very other people do as well. I'm very consistently not, I'll say this, I'm not wrong, okay? Because I'm always feeling the flow of the reality or the truth of what's happening in my timeline. For you guys out there, you might be experiencing something different. But for me, I experience that when I say something and I know something and I research something, something happens that makes it true in my reality, right? So even if I'm creating it, I know it's the truth. And my truth is this. When it comes to Donald Trump, he is supported by the light workers, the light forces. He is doing what he can. He's been meeting with multiple different alien groups. I know that for a fact. There's multiple different alien groups that are in our atmosphere and have been here for who knows long, however long they are, they're there, and the spaceships are there. You can see them clearly at night. You can go outside, you'll go, oh hey, look, a bunch of stars, great, blah blah blah, and then you look over and there's this huge fucking twinkling thing that's bobbing up in the air consistently in that same region every night, you know what I mean? And then the stars that were right next to it the night before are shifted because the planets moved and rotated, but it's still in that triangular location, or triangulation, if you will. Trying to put two words together into something that makes sense. But I know you guys know what I'm talking about. You've all seen it. Everybody across the United States that I've talked to in my network has seen the same spaceship or space station, because it's too big to be a spaceship. And it's in the southwest region. It looks like a huge, gigantic, bright star, and you can see it twinkling. These things are all over the place. And in Trump's speech, he was giving coded messages. Number one, he was saying, we'll unlock the mysteries of space and utilize the future industries and technologies of tomorrow. There are technologies right now being used by breakaway civilizations and military governments on the planet that are capable of replicating any material. I'll say that one more time for you. Any material. Water, food, clothing, bricks, building, whatever you fucking need, it can make it. Scalable versions for however big you need to make the machine, the technology exists. It's used with light and sound to create matter. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then also, you've got all these healing technologies that can instantly heal anything. And by the way, if anybody has cancer, I'm not a medical doctor. I can't speak to healing you. But if you do the hair testing, mineral analysis, and get back in balance, and then if you also start drinking dandelion root tea, make sure it's in a nice area, it's not swampy or dirty, it had toxic chemicals. But if you can do that, it will kill all the cancer cells in your body, right? In addition to other things. So that's my rant. I sort of wanted to wrap everything up. Johnny and Frank have collaborated in such a way for the listeners to provide information that crosses paths. You guys now can either do, you can join the fight with the counter PSYOP memes, where you don't have to really explain your argument anymore to people who won't listen to logic and reason. You just basically play on their emotions. And what was your takeaway real quick, Johnny? That ridicule?
Well, that's one thing that Trump is utilizing. My takeaway number 6 is use ridicule as a tool.
There you go. So you guys can join us to use ridicule as a tool, or you can continue doing your meditations or whatever you're doing on the passive side of things, right? Because everything's a balance. You can use both sides as long as you're doing them in balance. You don't want to be the negative troll that's fucking memeing people out of sheer crap in your life. You're just like, fuck my life, I'm going to meme everybody.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
yeah,
Frank,
give your contact information too, your email or something. I'd like to email.
What do you like to use, Johnny? Are you more of a phone guy?
I'm an email guy. I want to finish that real quick. So people can use the memes. People can contact either Johnny or Frank. That's where I was going next. Johnny's a mind reader. So Frank's going to give his information. Johnny will give his information again. Corey will follow up with anything else that he wants to ask, and we'll end the show. So, Frank, if you will, go ahead and give out your contact.
Yeah, what I was going to do is, over the show, you know, you guys are in my network. I don't necessarily know your audience or actually, you know, it sounds so pretentious, but I'm like, I don't necessarily need new friends. And if people need to get a hold of me, I'm sure they can get a hold of me through you. They can reach me through. I am on Facebook. I do a heck of a lot of just brain dumping on Facebook, and I take LinkedIn very, very seriously. So I get a lot more, about 1,000 person connection in my LinkedIn group, and only about 100 people on Steemit. And again, Steemit's what I'm my main focus on now. So I like people that write content or curate content or are around publishing or want to do publishing. Doing more with less is what Steemit's all about. So you can just find me.
Great. So how can they find you on Steemit?
At Frank Bacon. So you just use that @ as kind of a search. Yeah, it's @FrankBacon.
Okay, and then we'll go back to Johnny. I'm sorry, Frank, we just got so little time.
I have to
do a two-hour show with you guys again. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm on LinkedIn, too, as Johnny Delirious. And, you know, I do have articles that I publish. Some of them are laboratory articles. Other ones are basic health articles. So I would like to be able to participate in Steemit or whatever to get some content out for people because, you know, I need it to get out and not be disturbed. I need it to get somewhere.
Yeah, the beautiful thing about Steemit that you're going to love, Johnny, is there isn't a single pixel dedicated to advertising. If I could just, once again, just, you know, be a Jesus to the blockchain movement, this is what I really, really admire. Advertising is one of the worst evils of the black magic world, and people keep playing around with it and playing around with it and thinking, well, that's how you have to get paid. No, people, stop selling your soul to that bullshit. It's bullshit. Stop using ads. Ads are not the way. Sponsorship is different. Sponsorship is a totally different contractual arrangement, as Jordan will tell you. So with this, I'll get a hold of you, and we'll talk this week, and I'll get you all set up on Steemit.
Okay,
yeah,
that
would
be great.
Johnny, give us your email again.
Yes. I'll say it and I'll spell it. It's jdelirious5911@yahoo.com. So that's jdelirious5911@yahoo.com.
Thanks.
Perfect. Okay, great. So I would say we've successfully achieved the purpose of the show, which is one, to bring great information from two different people, or this episode, I should say, and then also to establish some form of collaboration between the two. And Frank obviously uses the blockchain activism, financial investing, smart, sound financial investing for himself personally. And he also is into cannabis activism and all sorts of other crazy stuff that he's doing. Johnny obviously has his own thing going on as well, and these two are able to collaborate in such a way on Steemit that they can double their reach and double their expansive power. And obviously you guys can find Johnny at his email. You can find it at johnnydelirious.com. That's what Johnny, I think it's johnnydelirious.com, correct?
Yeah, DelirIous, and at johnnydelirious.com. Just johnnydelirious.com.
Okay, good. And then Frank on Steemit at Frank Bacon, you guys will find all of his excellent.
If it's anything other than that, find me on LinkedIn. That's really
LinkedIn
work.
As well. But you'll find all of his excellent meme work and his articles. You've got a lot of good articles that you're either sharing or coming up with yourself. So we'll have everybody find you there. So I'm basically going to do a recap real quick. So thank you very much, Frank, and thank you, Johnny. We'll let you go real quick. And
thank you, Jordan.
Listeners, I appreciate it. I'm having some trouble with my voice, and we've also had some phone issues as well, so I appreciate that. I've just been drinking water throughout the episode to keep it going. So, Corey, let me go ahead and toss it over to you because of this. I'm going to have you recap the show, and or what you've learned from the show, if you will, and then ask let's see here, ask yourself this one question. If you could send Trump a message, or whoever it was, let's just say it's not Trump because that's a trigger word for people. If you could ask the corporate United States president, because that's what he is, anything, or send him any piece of information, what would it be? So first of all, just real quick, what did you really take away from Johnny and Frank in this conversation for our collaboration, and then also that second query that I just gave to you?
Well, I'm very much in support of with Johnny's position regarding our physical, emotional, and mental health, and that most of that or a good portion of that is caused by imbalances or basically malnutrition, deficits in our mineral makeup or in our chemical makeup. And I think that is individual health is really the number one thing that people would do well to focus on, particularly in light of everything that's going on in the world right now. I mean, it's I understand that people are freaked out on all sides of the political spectrum because, you know, Obama's talking about change, but there's change coming. Like, no one has seen in quite some time. I'm fairly certain of that. And I'll definitely be getting in touch with you regarding some of that. Frank, similarly, you know, the blockchain thing from my understanding, is hugely revolutionary in terms of the whole concept of individual sovereignty, for lack of a better way of describing it. If we are able to bypass this control system, whether it be by our communications or our offerings or our finances, I would suggest people very strongly to pay attention to that and to participate in that, because from my understanding, whether it's as a result of Trump's activities or whether it's as a result of the cabal trying to put the kibosh on Trump's plans, I've been aware of a coming reset for quite some time, probably almost 20 years I've been actively focused, and it's never been more imminent, and the writing's on the wall for this year, and as little as a couple months, I would say.
I feel that too, and I'm glad both of them are on the same page. It just confirms that something is about to come down the pike, I think somewhere near financial reset or disclosure. So we'll see what happens. If speaking on those terms, like I said, if you could send, I would say, any type of question or comment or information or anything to the person in power over the United States corporate administration, what would you send?
For lack of anything else coming to mind, I'd say carry on, man. You know, I think he's well aware. You know, it's interesting too. He had some recent meetings with the CIA, right? And I think one of the things that's kind of confusing about Trump in a way, but also ties into his use of ridicule, which I thought was an excellent point that was brought up. You know, one day he'll totally dismiss the intelligence community as a whole. Like, you know, fuck y'all, I'm not listening to what you have to say, right? And then he'll turn around and he'll coddle the CIA in a matter of days afterwards.
Well, I know what you're talking about, and there's reasons for that. So, and I'll answer the question as well. So I'll say that I would send him all the free energy research patents, all the stuff that I know is on file with the patent office to be released. I would send them all the research about Tesla, all sorts of different breakaway civilization things. I would put them in touch with David Wilcock and Corey Good. I do like really badass shit and put them all in contact with each other and hope that it works out for the best.
Could I add to that?
Well, we're almost out of time, but go ahead quickly.
2 seconds. It would be that the man needs to hire Robert David Steele, the open source general of the of the disruption, as a as an intelligence. It's a mandate. You must have that man. That man is the most brilliant man in America, as far as I'm concerned.
So we'll add Robert David Steele to the list there if that ever happens here. So I appreciate that, Frank, jumping back in for a second and bringing that name in. Also, and you guys can always find out who these people are. Just listen to the podcast again. So, Corey, just jumping off of what you said, wish him well. Keep doing a great job. Look out for snakes in your mist. And also, I just want to address what you said about the CIA before we close the showdown, because it's just so short of a time, this 1 hour. It's ridiculous, but we'll do something about that if we can. So the CIA speech, go look it up on YouTube. The main thing that you need to hear in the whole speech is, we're going to get all these pillars out of here. We don't need these pillars.
Right.
What he's talking about is Freemasons. He's talking about the Pillars of Solomon, Pillars of Solomon's Temple. It's the origination of the philosophy around building in Freemasonry.
Mean magic.
Started with that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you. So essentially, what he's doing is telling them, hey, look, when I was talking to your masters, right? But right now, I love you guys. You guys are the wheels that make it work. He's talking to the patriotic elements within the CIA. At any given time, there's been more than three factions since this whole thing started of CIA. We can get into that another show. So, again, I'd like to thank Frank, like to thank Johnny for this collaboration show. We went all over the place and brought things back together in a nice way, I think. My voice is kind of going out from getting so loud in the middle of it there. But I'm passionate. I don't ever script myself. I don't do any of that shit, guys. So I hope you appreciate it. Look everything up that we're saying for yourself. Don't rely on us. Obviously, that's part of due diligence. We're going to do a little something different next week. We're going to try to invite a gong master, not a bong master, a lot of those, a gong master and a master of bowl ceremony and some other healing arts as well. So we'll have, if we can, we'll have a lovely lady named Barbara, and then one of my close friends, Shelley Smith, will come on as well next week, and we'll do all that musical healing stuff that everybody's so fond of. Okay? All right, so thanks everybody again. Appreciate it. Corey, thank you for your time as well. I know you popped in just a little bit late and we didn't get to you till late, but I appreciate all that valuable stuff there. Corey likes to formulate and be very careful about his words for a reason, because he's aware that English language is Babylonian word magic, and so I applaud you for that as well. I'm sometimes loose with words. I mean them, and I direct them as I choose, but you've got to be very careful about some of the things that you're saying. So thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next week. Next episode should be a musical episode. And until then, pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.